20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode 662 of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host today, Andy Herman. You can always follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow my writing at Packer Report. Today, I'm actually going to discuss one of my recent articles from Packer Report, and that article is or was titled, Why Aaron Rodgers May Be Traded Sooner Than You Think. Obvious clickbait, as you can tell. Really excited to be able to kind of discuss this on the podcast. I know it kind of garnered some level of attention, to say the least, but I've had the opportunity to discuss a little bit on a few different radio shows and went on another podcast and discussed it a little bit as well. But I figured this would kind of be the best place to kind of go over what I was thinking, why I wrote that article, why I think it's relevant, and some of those sorts of things, and just kind of give you a background into kind of how that article came to fruition, why I wrote it, and some of those sort of things. So let me kind of jump right in and kind of go over the precipice of the article and why it kind of came to me and why I thought it was important to write the article. The reason that it kind of came to me and the reason that the article came to fruition wasn't because I needed something to write about or I thought it would, you know, get attention or anything like that. Rather, you know, when I write about the Packers and when I talk about the Packers, I try to come at it from almost an analytical angle, from an angle almost as a GM would view things. I try to find different ways to analyze it and break it down. That's not just kind of the status quo. It's just kind of how my mind works when I kind of look at these sort of things. And when I looked at the Jordan Love pick, it actually fits very much on brand with my philosophy of very much like, you know, Brian Gutekunst and Ted Thompson and Ron Wolf of going based off of your board, picking the best player that's available. Ron Wolf was just recently on a radio show and he reiterated of saying, hey, you know, if you've got a quarterback that you believe in, it's the most, you know, important position in football, you know, go out and take him. I'm of that same belief, you know, from, as I mentioned on this podcast in the past, going up and using a late fourth round, almost a fifth round selection to make sure that you can secure the guy that you really want is by far worth it. You know, the player, I like the player, you know, wasn't really necessarily concerned about Jordan Love from a player standpoint. There's definitely concerns there, don't get me wrong, but I could understand why they selected him. Wasn't surprised by that. Wasn't surprised by the philosophy. Wasn't surprised by them moving up to going up and getting him. But the one thing that kept coming back to me over and over and over and over again was, when does this make sense? And if you go back and listen to the conversation that Justice Mosqueda and I had on this topic, you know, Justice really brought up this great idea of what window makes sense? Like, when does this make sense? And what Justice was getting at and what I've kind of been getting at as well is that it's very easy to see, and I don't think it's controversial at all to say that moving up to get Jordan Love does very little, if anything, to help the Aaron Rodgers window of trying to win a Super Bowl. It doesn't do a ton. Now, maybe, you know, if Rodgers goes out for six games and Jordan Love's able to go 4-2 and hold down the fort and, you know, help Green Bay get into playoffs so that Aaron can make a run when he comes back, sure, you could make an argument, something like that, that it could still help Aaron Rodgers in the short term. But for the most part, Jordan Love does very little to help Aaron Rodgers' window. Actually, the inverse is kind of true in a way as well, that Aaron Rodgers does very little to help the Jordan Love window of trying to win and put a championship team together surrounding Jordan Love. And what Justice meant by that and what I kind of meant by that is the blueprint for trying to go out, the best blueprint for trying to go out and win a championship right now is having a quarterback that makes next to no money and surrounding them with a ton of talent that you can go out, spend a ton of money in free agency. You know, there's probably a year that when you're, you know, playing with a Jordan Love or a younger quarterback where you don't really have the season that you expected. When Aaron Rodgers went 6-10 in his first season as a starter, it really actually helped them in the draft be able to go out and get the players that helped build that 3-4 Packers defense that helped them win a Super Bowl. those are the things that can kind of happen to help you open up a window with your next quarterback. But if you don't have the resources to spend because Aaron Rodgers is still making a ton of money on your salary cap when you're starting Jordan Love, it doesn't help you in that regards either. So the whole idea of where this article came from is trying to make sense of when a situation could take place that would make sense for the Packers to try to open up a championship window for one of these teams. Now, before I jump too far into that, it should very, very much be noted that I think the Packers are more of a franchise that's trying to be really good every single year, trying to get in the playoffs every single year, and then kind of seeing what happens from there. I'm not a huge general fan of that philosophy. I'm more of the philosophy is strike while the iron is hot. You know, if you have an Aaron Rodgers or a, you know, Brett Favre and they're, you know, sort of, you know, coming towards the end and you can, you know, open up a window and try to make one more strong run, I'm more of the idea of trying to go for it and do that. But I also understand in an NFL sense, I think there is really a feeling of, hey, if you can get in the playoffs and get hot at the right time, you know, bad teams have won the Super Bowl, you know, flat out. You know, maybe bad teams is a strong way to say it, but like the team that was supposed to win the Super Bowl has not won it a lot of times. You know, some of those New York Giants teams certainly come to mind. You know, a Ravens team led by, you know, Trent Dilfer. I know they had a phenomenal defense, but, you know, some of those teams come to mind when you think of, you know, of teams getting hot at the right time, making a Super Bowl run at the right time, and trying to make a run when the iron is hot. So that's, you know, my philosophy is trying to open a window. I think the Packers is more of trying to be like, hey, we're going to try to get good players, stay relevant for as long as possible, and really try to win a Super Bowl by getting into the playoffs over and over and over and hoping that, you know, everything hits right at the right time and we can get a Super Bowl ring that way. But the reason that I looked at it the way that I did is I really wanted to try to find a way that this makes a ton of sense from a salary cap standpoint to kind of open up specifically that window potentially for Jordan Love. And the scenario that struck me when I was going over some of the salary cap and how you could get out of Aaron Rodgers' contract and things like that, the situation that struck me as potentially advantageous for Green Bay it would be trading Aaron Rodgers in 2021. And the way that that happens, or the reason that could potentially make some sense, is if you trade Aaron Rodgers in very early 2021, it would be March in the first, one of the first 3 days of the new league year in 2021. Yes, you would take a $31 million plus cap hit in 2021. But that's where kind of this red herring comes in. So I think there's this idea of the Packers would have to take a $31 million cap hit. And because of that, there's no way they would do that. It would financially, you know, cripple the Packers in 2021 by making that move. Therefore, the soonest that it could happen would be 2022. And that's really the first red herring that I wanted to address, because yes, they would take a $31 million cap hit in 2021 by trading him again in March before the third league day of the new year. However, they would actually save money in the 2021 season on the salary cap by making that move. Now, it's like $4 million in savings. It's barely worth mentioning. But what's worth mentioning about it is it doesn't cripple them in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it actually saves them money towards their salary cap in 2021 by trading Aaron Rodgers early in the season. So that's number one. The number one thing that I wanted to cover is if they wanted to trade Aaron Rodgers in 2021, they absolutely could do so. And actually, from a salary cap standpoint, it would help them even next year. But more importantly than that, the reason that this could potentially very much make sense is that Aaron Rodgers would then have a cap hit of, you know, absolutely $0 in 2022 and in 2023. And why that's important is Jordan Love in those seasons would make around $3 million and $4 million respectively in those two seasons in his third and fourth years of his contract, which is basically pennies on the dollar compared to most starting quarterbacks, and obviously much less than what Aaron Rodgers would be making if he was still on the team during that time frame. So If you want to talk about potentially starting to open up that window for Jordan Love, having Aaron Rodgers not cost anything towards the cap would make a ton of sense, potentially, in those 2 years where you're not paying Aaron Rodgers a dime, and you could go out with Jordan Love making $3 and $4 million in each of those seasons and surround him with a ton, and I mean a ton, of potential talent to really try to help him succeed and start opening that Jordan Love window of trying to win a championship when he is potentially good and, more importantly, super cheap. So that was the first thing that kind of struck me about this, and why I kind of wanted to write about it, is just to show, hey, there could be something here. There could, you could make sense of it if they wanted to move on from Aaron Rodgers early next season in 2021 and start opening up that window for Jordan Love. The second reason that it got me thinking even more is, if you were to think, when Aaron Rodgers has the most trade value for the remainder of his contract, what year would it be? And without question, it would be 2021. You absolutely cannot make an argument that it would make sense in any other year. With all the talk of when they could trade Aaron Rodgers, it would be really difficult to do so this season. Yes, they could do so after June 1st. It just doesn't make a ton of sense. You're not going into this season with Jordan Love being your starting quarterback when he's never played in the NFL before. It's an asinine thought. There's no chance in hell. So we know that it's not going to happen in 2020. So in 2021, 2022, and 2023 are the years that Rodgers could potentially be traded. And of course, the team that's trading for him is going to want him when he's younger, when he has more years under contract, and when he's, still affordable. And 2021 makes a ton of sense for all three reasons. So first of all, you would get him, the team that would be trading for him would get him in his ages 37, 38, and 39 seasons. In each of those seasons, he would be making less than, overall, an average, he'd be making less than $25 million per season for three seasons. And he would only take $6 million in guaranteed money, right around there, $6 million in guaranteed money in the very first year of the deal. And the rest of it would not be guaranteed at all. So they would get him in his 37, 38, 39 seasons for under $25 million per season, with almost $0 guaranteed in the scheme of things. And the money that is guaranteed is in that first year, which, if you're trading for him in that year, you obviously want him on your team that season anyway. So you would get a steal of a player with that contract if Aaron Rodgers was still playing at a high level, which we all expect him to be. And, if they would trade for him later on, they would get less years on the deal. He'd be a little bit older. They wouldn't get that age 37, year. I just think that's super important. So I think it's really easy to see that the year that would make most sense to trade for him, or that you'd get the most value out of Aaron Rodgers if you were to trade him, would be in 2021. Juxtapose that with, the Tom Brady contract that just happened, for example. Brady, at ages 43 and 44, got a two-year, $50 million deal, entirely guaranteed. Again, in a much later stage in his career, coming off what for Tom Brady was definitely a down season in New England. So you're getting Rodgers much younger, cheaper, with almost no guarantees compared to Brady on an all-guaranteed deal. I just think there would be a ton of value in trading Aaron Rodgers in 2021 if the Packers felt that they could do it. And that was kind of the other thing that really struck me about this, is if they could get, some potential premium draft picks. And here's what I'm thinking here. And part of the reason I'm saying this is, first of all, a team like, the Raiders and John Gruden, Gruden would go nuts trying to figure out a way to get Aaron Rodgers, and would probably sell you or trade you a ton in order to get that deal done. I can also guarantee you there would be some sort of team that would that has a GM and a coach that are on very thin ice. And really, their only way to try to save face in their last year, potentially, of their deal, is to go out and make a major splash and try to save their job. And I could think of definitely a couple teams that could potentially be in that position, or just a team that has the resources to make that kind of deal happen. So either way, and whoever would potentially do it, if you look at it, the year that makes the most sense to get the most back in return to trade Aaron Rodgers is 2021. So from a salary cap standpoint, it makes sense. From a trade value standpoint, it makes sense. There's still a couple other reasons that I want to go over here. And I think the last one is really from a Jordan Love standpoint. So I think everyone kind of has this idea, right, that, you know, it's going to take Jordan Love a couple seasons, you know, maybe two or three seasons to be NFL ready. But I think you can also make the argument that in order to make that happen, he probably needs to see the field a little bit and try to get a little bit more accustomed to playing in the NFL. Yeah, if you let Aaron Rodgers play the next three seasons and then Jordan Love plays in his fourth season, yeah, he'd still only be making $4 million per year, you know, $4 million for that season, but it would be his very first year as a starter, a true starter in the NFL. And maybe he got a couple of cups of coffee while Aaron Rodgers, you know, got hurt for a couple of weeks, or, you know, filled in some, you know, end of game time where they were either winning big or losing big. But you don't know what you have in him for an entire season until, you know, he plays for an entire season. And if you really want to see that and you really want to start developing him, you know, yeah, again, you get him cheap for that fourth year, but one, you're probably still paying Aaron Rodgers a little bit of money in that situation, depending on how they, you know, how they did the deal. But again, more importantly, you know, he hasn't had a chance to prove himself and he hasn't had a chance to get on the field a ton. So I think from a Jordan Love situation, you can make an argument that the perfect scenario is that Love gets the first year in Green Bay to sit and watch everything that Aaron Rodgers does, how he handles his press conference, how he handles his practice routine, how he handles himself at the locker room, how, like, all of those things. You get a year to watch and study one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time. And then in year two, if they were to trade Aaron Rodgers again prior to the season, they're paying Aaron Rodgers $30 million to not play in Green Bay in that season. So this is not the year that you're expecting a ton out of Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. You know, could they still be good? Sure, but you're not expecting a Super Bowl run when, again, you're paying a huge chunk of your salary cap to a guy that's not on the team. It would kind of give you this season to kind of mentor, or I guess kind of see what Jordan Love has, to kind of guide him a little bit more, to not have tremendous expectations. There's still going to be pressure because you're going from Favre to Rodgers to Jordan Love, and you just traded Aaron Rodgers away. So there's still going to be a significant amount of pressure on Jordan Love, but it's not like he's going to be expected to win from day one and all of a sudden have this Super Bowl in his first season as a starter. This is going to be able to get some of those bumps in the road out a little bit, or again, where you're still paying Aaron Rodgers a ton of money while he's not on the team. And then you would have really a three-year, maybe even a little bit longer window where Love's not making a ton of money, and now he's had a season to study Rodgers, a season under his belt where he got to play a little bit and learn from some of his mistakes, and now you've got 3 to 4 years where he's making significantly less, especially in those first 2 to 3 years, making significantly less than the average starting quarterback in the NFL. You can surround him with a ton of talent. You can keep a lot of those premium players that you want to keep around, like the David Bakhtiaris and the Davante Adams and the Aaron Jones and Kenny Clarks. You know, if you want to keep those players, you know, you now have the salary cap to be able to do so. You can probably go out and sign more free agents because, again, you have the salary cap to do so. And it's possible, one, that you've got maybe 2 premium picks coming back from Aaron Rodgers in exchange. And probably that first year under Jordan Love was maybe more of what, like a 7-9, 8-8 season. So probably a top 20 pick in, you know, coming off of that season as well. So you're looking at an influx of immense talent as you go into 2022, both in a free agency and a draft standpoint, and guys coming off their second year who, you know, where maybe you got some potentially great draft picks from that Aaron Rodgers trade as well. So you would, in my opinion, open up this crazy window with a ton of talent surrounding Jordan Love for about a 2 to 3 year stretch where you'd be able to, you know, re-sign all those guys, sign free agents, have some premium draft picks, and really potentially have this really amazing team surrounding him. So those were the three reasons that went on paper. When I looked at it, it could make some sense if Aaron Rodgers was traded sooner rather than later. And again, by that, I mean in early 2021, because again, it could really help the window for Jordan Love. And again, it's really tough for Jordan Love to help the window for Aaron Rodgers. So that's where the initial idea and the groundwork for the article, you know, kind of came into play. In fact, again, it wasn't even an article. And I'll be totally transparent with you, there was a huge part of me that didn't even necessarily want to write the article, because for any of those who have written or podcasted or tweeted about Aaron Rodgers, it is usually a very hot button topic from one side or the other. And there are those that will defend Rodgers no matter what. There will those that will, you know, try to tear him down no matter what. So in a way, no matter what you write about him, it's always going to be a little bit of a lightning rod one way or the other. And a part of me was just like, I don't even know that I want to, you know, go down that road and have to defend myself as to why I was thinking of this. And while I kind of want to take a pause here, I want to thank so many of you for the positive comments on the article. My favorite, by the way, was a comment that said, "This was a really thought out and well done article, and I absolutely hate it," which I totally get. I 1,000,000% get. Like, one, I appreciate you taking the time to read it and seeing that it was analytically driven, and I was trying to figure out a way to make sense of it, and it was not a want or a need. I'm not looking for Aaron Rodgers to leave Green Bay anytime soon. But I also get that there's a strong, you know, desire to keep him in Green Bay and not want him, you know, playing on another team. You know, for anyone that, you know, went through the Favre, you know, Packers situation, you know, all you have to do is look back at that. You know, Ted Thompson got it right. He drafted the right guy. He moved forward with Aaron Rodgers at the right time. He did everything perfectly to an extent. I mean, there's some hiccups along the way, but the result was perfect. And it still stings in a way, because there, no matter what happens, Packer fans have the image of Brett Favre wearing a purple Vikings jersey in their mind for pretty much ever. And that sucks. There's no two ways about it. And having to go through that entire situation where the quarterback that, in, you know, for me, I grew up watching, I was at, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals game where he threw the touchdown to Kitchick Taylor. Like, having that guy that you grew up watching having to go and play as a Minnesota Viking or even another team, period. Like, for me personally, I really liked watching him on the Jets, but I know I'm kind of in the minority there. So, you know, no matter what, it's not fun seeing him on another team. So even if Brian Gutekunst got this right, even this was 1,000,000% the right pick, even if he trades him at the right time, even if he builds a perennial Super Bowl contender with Jordan Love at quarterback and they win 3 Super Bowls with Jordan Love, even if all of that happens, seeing Aaron Rodgers on a team, you know, and wearing another jersey will still sting, you know, no matter what. And that's just kind of the reality of it. So I'm not excited about it. I'm not, and I should mention too, I don't necessarily think this is the most likely outcome. In fact, I don't think it's the most likely outcome, but do I think it's possible? I absolutely think it's possible if the right situation and circumstances come to a head. And that's where I kind of finalized the article and how I'll kind of finalize today. There were 3 situations and 3 scenarios that I said would have to take place in order for the Packers to consider trading Aaron Rodgers in 2021. And I'll go through those. And the first one, and the most obvious and the easiest to understand, is that Jordan Love has to show that he can at least be a good to really good starting quarterback in the NFL. And there were some that read the article and interpreted it as saying, well, yeah, if Jordan Love is as good or better than Aaron Rodgers, then of course you would do this. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you could make an argument that if Jordan Love is good to really good, it would make more sense to have a really good Jordan Love with a ton of talent surrounding him and $30+ million extra to spend in free agency than potentially would be to have a great but kind of declining great Aaron Rodgers without $30 million to spend in free agency. And I think that's where the question has to kind of come into play. But again, Jordan Love would have to show something within his first year as a Green Bay Packer in order for them to have some sort of trust in them. And you might say, well, short of him, you know, playing in a bunch of regular season games because of an Aaron Rodgers injury, you know, how is that going to happen? And you could make that argument, and I certainly understand that argument, but I also think if you look across the NFL, I think more teams than not felt with their specific quarterback on their roster that they knew what they had after the very first year or before then. You know, you look at the Carson Wentzes, the Russell Wilsons, the Dak Prescotts, you know, the Patrick Mahomeses, the Deshaun Watsons, even you go back as far as, Tom Brady. Even look at DeShone Kizer from a negative standpoint. The Browns played him for a season. They knew he was not going to be the guy of the future. Drew Lock this last season, he gets in a couple games. Denver felt comfortable with him moving forward as the starting quarterback. Lamar Jackson, you know, they knew after the very first season that they were going to go all in on Lamar Jackson and really build that team around him in his second year as a starter. Like, you go team by team, and more often than not, the quarterback on that roster, they knew going into season two that they were going to build the team around that player for better or worse, or they knew what they had in that quarterback and felt comfortable with him being the starter moving forward. So I think that this idea that the Packers would have no idea what Jordan Love would be after his first year of a Green Bay Packer, I don't agree with that idea. You know, TJ Lang just tweeted out a couple weeks ago that he knew pretty much in the first practice, the very first practice of with a player, if they had it or not, if he was going to end up being a true NFL caliber player in the league or not in his first practice. Now, we don't know how, you know, TJ is as a talent evaluator, but I think it's telling nonetheless that he had a really good instinct after that first practice of whether someone was going to be good or not. And I think the Packers, with Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst and that entire front office and scouting department, I think they're going to have a very strong idea as to whether or not they got the 2018 version of Jordan Love and he's ready and he's ready to play in the NFL, you know, right away or at least by year two, or if they know that they need some more time to develop him and things just aren't clicking yet by the end of that first season. So caveat number one is that they have to have an inkling that Jordan Love's at least a good to really good quarterback by year two in the NFL. And I don't think that's as far-fetched as maybe some people think. And again, especially if he's 2018 Jordan Love and was throwing a lot of touchdowns and not making mistakes with the football, if he shows at practice that he's making good decisions, can make every throw on the field, and is capable of leading the team, well, then, yeah, things could accelerate sooner rather than later. And again, I think you can make an argument that that's that not that far-fetched of an idea going into 2021. The second caveat is that Aaron Rodgers has to basically kind of stay the same as a quarterback. If he looks like MVP caliber Aaron Rodgers again, and certainly if they were to win a Super Bowl, or even if he has an MVP caliber season and they just fall short of a Super Bowl, maybe another NFC championship, or they lose in the Super Bowl, something like that. If that happens, you're probably looking at a situation where they're going to run back Rodgers another year. They're going to see him playing at top form, and they're going to say, you know what, we're not going to trade this guy right now. He's playing too well. We'll give Jordan another year. We'll figure it out later. But Aaron's just playing too incredibly well for us to, you know, make a trade at this point. So if he looks, you know, better than he has over the course of the last few seasons, goes back to his MVP, you know, style of play and caliber of play, then this is all probably off the table. I think you can also make an argument that if Rodgers would some reason regress significantly, or if he would have a major injury where it would really hurt his trade value, I think you could look at a situation where Green Bay really looks to kind of, you know, give Rodgers another year, maybe, you know, maybe let Love develop a little bit longer and see if Rodgers can really bounce back, and maybe they can build some of that trade value back up rather than getting pennies on the dollar, or even just the idea of, you know, if he has an off year or a really injured year and some team calls and says, hey, we'll give you a third round pick, I think they might just say, you know what, we'd rather keep him than, you know, take a third round pick in exchange. He's more valuable to us than he is to you at that point, and we're just going to keep him around. So again, I think if he, you know, balls out and has this tremendous 2020 and is MVP level, or he brings him to a Super Bowl, I think it's off the table. If he regresses, or, you know, significantly, or if he has a major injury and teams are, you know, kind of no longer interested because of the injury issues, then again, I think he sticks around. But if he basically stays the same, where he's really good, but maybe not top three good, you know, maybe not top five good, but still playing at a high level, but Green Bay doesn't really feel that they can get over the top with Rodgers playing at that level and paying him as much as they would need to pay him, then I think there's a scenario, again, if Love is good and if everything else, you know, kind of comes to fruition, then I think they could say, hey, we'll take some premium draft choices, we'll move forward with Jordan Love, and we'll kind of go from there. And then last but not least, the third caveat is that even if all of this comes to fruition, if Jordan Love, it looks really good, if Rodgers is kind of staying status quo, I still think some team has to come and make you an offer that you can't refuse. And again, I don't think this is a hard, I think this is the easiest of the three to see happening. I think it's easy for some team to, you know, be desperate, fall in love. We know how hard it is to find franchise quarterbacks. And Rodgers just said in his press conference that he wants to play into his 40s. So you have him on a three-year deal that's really cheap by NFL standards, that has almost no guaranteed money. It's a dream deal. He's still under his 40s. And if he continues to perform, you might have him on your team for 5 or 6 more years playing at a really solid level. I just think that some team is going to drool over that. And even just in name value and Super Bowl and MVP seasons and things like that, there's going to be some team that is like, you know what? We're going all in. We're going to go get Aaron Rodgers. The team that I wrote about, the Jacksonville Jaguars, if Gardner Minshew doesn't turn out, and you know, they'll have 2 first-round picks, both their own and the Rams, you know, could they offer 2 first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers? I think those things are always hard to try to figure out where teams value certain players. But I think the conversation would start with if they were to trade him in 2021 with a first-round pick, and I think it would at minimum be like a first and a third. And I think it could go as high as 2 first-round picks. And again, I think you could be looking at potentially a couple premium draft picks in return for Aaron Rodgers. So in kind of recapping everything, in order to make this happen, Jordan Love has to show that he's probably really good at minimum. Aaron Rodgers has to stay the same, and some team has to blow them out of the water with trading them, you know, 2 first-round picks, with one of those likely being like a top 10, top 12 pick in next year's NFL draft. And if all of those things do come to fruition, which I don't think any of them are that outside of the realm of possibility. In fact, I would expect Rodgers to mostly stay the same. I would expect some team to be massively interested in him with that contract if the Packers were willing to deal him. Really, the only thing that's left is that Jordan Love has to somehow show in his first season that he's ready to go, that he could be a starting caliber, you know, above average starting caliber NFL quarterback, top, you know, 16, 17, you know, NFL quarterback. If he shows that, I think they would, you know, have to entertain the conversation if some team came at him with a deal that they couldn't refuse. I just think it's within the realm of possibility. I think you go back to getting the most return on your dollar for Aaron Rodgers, opening up a window for Jordan Love, having it be really the best case scenario for Jordan Love. You go right down the line, and with just a couple things coming true, it legitimately, you can make an argument that it makes the most sense. So I'll say it once again. It's not necessarily what I'm hoping for. It's not what I necessarily think will happen, but I just really wanted to get it out there that I think this is a real possibility if a couple things go the way that honestly the Packers would hope that they would go, you know, especially with, you know, having a ton of trade value for Rodgers, and Jordan Love is kind of the player that they hope and expect him to be. I'm sure they would love that Rodgers would play at a massive MVP level and win a Super Bowl and make this all a moot point. So you could definitely make that argument. But outside of that, that to me, when you look at all the different options of what could come from Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love from here, that's the one situation where I look at it and go, oh, if that happened, that could legitimately make some sense. And they'd still have to pay it off. They'd have to win, you know, significant games and build a franchise around Jordan Love, and he'd have to, you know, pay that off as well for this to have been successful. But when you look at it from a GM sort of mindset, from an analytical mindset, that's the one situation and scenario that, I look at and say, okay, I could see that working. I could see that making sense. And by doing it then, you kind of close that window, obviously, on Aaron Rodgers, but you start really having the opportunity to open that window for Jordan Love. And rather the two kind of counterbalancing each other, as I mentioned from the beginning, where hanging on to Rodgers hurts Love's window and Love doesn't do a ton to help Rodgers' window, you know, this is a situation where you close one, but you could open the other extremely wide, and that, of course, being for Jordan Love. So that's where this came about. The last thing that I'll say in regards to this, We've all read the articles and kind of read this idea that Matt LaFleur wants to build this offense a little bit more in his image. You know, they get the power running back in A.J. Dillon. They get the H-back in Josiah DeGuerra. They've got the big, you know, powerful receivers, you know, that they have and have picked up now in Devin Funchess. You know, if that's the case, if they want to build this team where it's a more, you know, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, you know, sort of style offense, what he probably wants is not somebody who is super improvisational, which Rodgers definitely is. He probably wants somebody that's going to follow the script a little bit more. And, you know, in a way, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way in any way, shape, or form at all, but if you look at the 49ers, right? Let's look at the Kyle Shanahan offense. Who's the star of that offense? You know, you could say George Kittle. I would argue the star of that offense is Kyle Shanahan. He's the mastermind and the genius behind that offense, and he has all the players that he needs to run that system successfully. Basically, he's saying, like, guys, I'm going to get guys open for you, and I'm going to get running lanes for you. Let me be the genius. You guys just go out and do your job and play, and I'll kind of take care of the rest. And, you know, you don't want necessarily a guy, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you don't necessarily want somebody who's going to go off script a ton and is not going to, you know, when the system runs like it's supposed to, is going to, you know, shake off the initial call and maybe try to do something a little bit different that he's maybe more familiar with. And I'm not even saying that Kyle Shanahan wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, because I think if he had the choice between Jimmy Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers, I think he's taking Aaron Rodgers 100 times out of 100. And I think Matt LaFleur would say the same thing. And I would even be willing to tell you that if Matt LaFleur had the choice of himself being the star or Aaron Rodgers being the star, I think he would tell you, listen, as long as we're winning, I'm happy with Aaron Rodgers being the star. I don't think Matt LaFleur wants that spotlight. That's not what I'm saying here in any way, shape, or form. But I do think there's something to the fact that he probably wants his offense run and wants it to be a little bit more timing-based and wants things to kind of go according to plan. And that's not always Rodgers. And what I'm trying to get here is not the Florio idea that these two can't coexist together. They've coexisted great together in their first year. And Matt LaFleur's built his offense in a way that Aaron can still be very successful. Aaron, by all intents and purposes, loves working with Matt LaFleur. Everything seems perfect. So I'm not starting that conversation in any way, shape, or form. But what I am saying is that if he feels like his offense can run successfully with just a really good quarterback, again, I think that's just another one of those pieces of information that could make you believe and make you think, okay, maybe, again, a really good Jordan Love at $3 million or $4 million for a season could be more beneficial to the offense than an Aaron Rodgers at $35 million for a season. And it's just going back to the idea of, you know, do you want a little bit of a declining Aaron Rodgers who's going to be a little bit more improvisational and maybe a little bit less running the offense the way that you want? Or do you want Jordan Love, who's probably going to listen to kind of everything that you're saying as a coach, run the offense the way that you want it to, and have an additional $30 million to spend on players and talent to surround him with, which can make your offense and defense, you know, that much better as well? So that is the entire idea from beginning to end of where this thought process started. And I'm going to just say it one more time, not hoping it happens, not expecting it to happen, but opening up that possibility, because I do think it's real and I do think it's relevant at least to talk about that. I think, you know, when people say, well, if they trade Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be, you know, 3 or 4 years down the line. It certainly could be. And it could certainly be a situation in which they never trade him and he stays, you know, his time in Green Bay. I thought one of the telling quotes from Brian Gutekunst was that, you know, after the draft pick took place, in fact, I think it was his closing press conference when the draft was finished, was that, you know, he basically went back to the Favre-Rodgers situation and said, listen, the only reason that situation happened in the first place is because Aaron Rodgers was good. You know, if Jordan Love isn't good and isn't up to the task, this is all for nothing. Aaron Rodgers will be here until he's, you know, 43, you know, 44 years old, potentially, until he wants to be here. Because, you know, if they missed on Jordan Love and he's not the player that they expected, they're going to probably try and keep Aaron around as long as possible, because he's one hell of a meal ticket at quarterback. When you're a head coach and a GM, you know, you got him around, you're still going to win some games. And I'm willing to bet that that's the case even when he's in his early 40s. So, you know, Jordan has to show that he's capable of being a really good NFL starter before any of these conversations take place. But again, the whole idea behind the article was that if that happens sooner rather than later, you can make a really strong argument that it could make sense to trade Rodgers sooner rather than later. So that's what the article was about. I hope you appreciated a little bit more of a deep dive in the breakdown today. Again, I cannot say thank you enough to those of you who read the article and had positive responses. It really truly meant a lot because, again, I know how high stakes an article like that can be, and I know how I know how it can get a reaction going before you even read the article. And I kind of opened the article by saying it took me way too long even to just write the title because I didn't want the title to come off as clickbaity, but I wanted it to come across as what I was writing about. Like, even that took way too long. So I sincerely appreciate you reading it. I appreciate the feedback that I got. I know it's not for everyone. I know that a lot of people won't like the idea or the premise behind it. Like I said, I'm not even saying that I necessarily do, but I do think that there's at least value in having that conversation and bringing it up because there are some really key, pieces of information that could make this advantageous for the Green Bay Packers if they decided to go that route as soon as next season. So thanks so much for listening, as always. I really appreciate it. You can find my writing, of course, at PackerReport.com. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can also find a weekly podcast with myself and Tony Pauline at Pro Football Network. We've been doing that almost a year now. So that's a really fun podcast that I get to do with him every week. And yeah, I just really appreciate your support as always. You guys keep listening and giving us great feedback on the podcast as well. I can't thank you enough for that. Make sure to check back tomorrow. As always, we have a new episode 365 days a year, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. So make sure to download, like, and subscribe. But until next time, I'll talk to you guys in a week. And as always, go Pack, go.